So, a reminder that this is a letter addressed to under pressure saints, under pressure from the world, under pressure from persecution. And one of the great themes of the letter is the Apostle Peter is laying out for them that there is a pattern to the Christian life. And it's a pattern that he speaks about even in verse 11, that the pattern is suffering, but then glory. That was the pattern of the Lord's own life, and that will be the pattern for us as we are conformed to be like him. And isn't it wonderful that it doesn't say just suffering and glory, but suffering and glories, plural. Our Lord Jesus has been exalted to the glories of the glories of the glories of every good glorious thing in heaven. And we can look forward to that as well in the kingdom of heaven. But this is the pattern. And so the book's here to teach us how to handle life under pressure, how to suffer well, how to bring glory to God in those things. And in these verses, we really come to the end, I think, of the introduction of the letter, the first subject of the letter, which is hope. That we are to be people of hope. We've got this glorious hope ahead of us, and that should define how we live now. And so as we look at these three verses, I think the key thought in this passage is that we are so spiritually blessed, so privileged to live today in the time of grace. That we, like the Christians Peter's writing to, we are so privileged. We live in the time when the full revelation of the gospel has come to us and has been made clear. That we've got the completed word of God. That even the things the prophets spoke of, now they have come. And so we live in this wonderful time of grace. And I think Peter wants us to see that and to be encouraged by it. Just to see how blessed we are. So I was thinking, I would put it this way. Sometimes people as a game or as a thought experiment, they say, if you could choose any time in history to live in, what would it be? You know, would it be ancient Egypt? Would it be the Tudors? Would it be dinosaurs? My honest answer is I would say today, because I think electricity and modern medicine and technology means that I want to live now in indoor plumbing. But this passage is saying we should be so glad we live now, because we live in the time when Christ has come, is fulfilling all the promises of God, and that these things have been revealed to us. And again, if you think about it this way, to remember what we looked at in the last few verses before this, Peter reminded us that we've never seen Christ. None of us here have seen him with our eyes. We didn't have that privilege. And we live by faith in what we cannot see. And so then it seems to me it just follows on then that Peter says, well, yes, you may not have seen him, but you have the scriptures. You have the prophetic writings of the apostles and prophets. And although you may not have seen him with your eyes, through the marvelous word of God, you do know him. And you do know the grace of salvation. In fact, in many ways, it's better than just perhaps getting a glimpse of him in the eyes when he was here on earth. If you look at me at verse 11, we're given a wonderful insight into the mystery of inspiration, how the scriptures came to be and were given to us. The scriptures are the work of the Holy Spirit. He inspired them, he created them, he spoke them. Because it says the prophets, and here it's specifically meaning all the Old Testament inspired writers and prophets of God, they were empowered by the Spirit of Christ who was in them. The Holy Spirit who testified through them about Christ. And again, it's just this miracle that we have in our hands in the Bible. It's not the work of men or men's imaginations or men's reasoning things out. They were carried along by the Spirit of God, moved by the Spirit of God. That the scriptures are a wonderful miracle. They're the very voice of God, the Holy Spirit speaking through the prophets. And that the scriptures and the Old Testament scriptures are all about Christ. As As Peter says, they testify to his death and resurrection. What is the main subject of the Old Testament? Our Lord Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. And the Holy Spirit here in this work of inspiration, called the Spirit of Christ, because that's, he was speaking of Christ. And we can see this all the way through. We can see Abraham and the promise of a coming seed, a son born of the Spirit who would bless the whole world. We see it in Moses and God's offering of a lamb, of a greater high priest, of sacrifices. We see it in David and the hope of a greater son who would sit on God's throne and live forever. We see it in Daniel and the promise of the Son of Man who would reign over all the forces of evil, and so on. And you could say, as we were people of hope, Peter's saying, all those Old Testament saints before Christ, they were people of hope too. They share in our hope. They were all looking forward to the coming of Christ. And that's how they lived and endured great pressures. And then here's the particular insight I think these verses give us. It says, wonderfully, the prophets themselves searched and studied the scriptures. So the very words that the Spirit spoke through them, they then also worked hard to study. They put their faith in and they worked to understand. When they spoke the words of God, they spoke things greater than they fully understood themselves. I mean, isn't that just wonderful and astonishing? And so that specifically they were searching what manner of time when the things of Christ would come. Doesn't that give you the sense that, the prophets, as they heard these words from God about Christ, they were longing for it. They were excited. They were expecting it. And so they're searching through the scriptures that they might know him, might be able to see. When will these things be? We want these things to be. We want the Savior. And they're just eagerly searching the scriptures. So again, when you think about all of that, what a marvelous testimony this is to the Bible, to the inspiration of the scriptures. The words of the Spirit of God and the confidence and the assurance you can have. This book is true. This word and its promises, it's all true. This wonderful, consistent word revealed over all of this time. So then, having reflected on that, Peter then takes us to the main point, the key thought that he wants us to. He wants us to see how blessed we are then, even compared to them. Because as verse 12 makes clear, we now also have the inspired revelation given through the apostles. He says those who came preaching the gospel by the power and inspiration of the Spirit sent from heaven. He's talking about the apostles. And perhaps to even some of the prophets that there were in that first generation of the church. That again, there was a great outpouring of the Spirit to reveal God's truth in his word. And they're sent out with the good news of the gospel. And you got this little note about the authority of the word of God. This is from heaven. This is a word from heaven. It's got the authority of heaven. And this wonderful word that the Spirit now is saying and adding to the revelation. Well, look at that word now in verse 12. That's the key, isn't it? Things which now have been reported. Peter's saying everything that was promised, everything those prophets were longing for, now, today, Christ has appeared. And we are going out as the apostles, making this known. So there's so many blessings for us, even just sat here tonight. We've got the completed revelation of the prophets and apostles. And the things they speak of are for us now. You know, there's that really helpful little phrase by Augustine, where he says, the new is in the old concealed, the old is in the new revealed. And as we see, it all comes together, the same Spirit, the same Saviour. And that this is for us, the church. Did you notice how many times Peter says you? This was for you. You, the church of Jesus Christ. It was revealed that not to themselves, but to us. So even the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, these mighty men of God, and we're not fit to shine their shoes. They were not given to see these days of the gospel or to know them. But they did know that they were sacrificially fulfilling a role as servants so that one day the word of God would bless us. Isn't that amazing? It's like the Apostle Paul says something similar in 1 Corinthians 10 when he's referring to the Exodus. And he says, now all these things happened to them as examples. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And again, he says something similar in Romans 15. He says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So again, it's this incredible blessing. You and I live in this now, when the mystery of Christ is revealed by the Spirit, testified to down through these centuries, and we are the beneficiaries. We have the most marvelous word of God in our hands to equip us to live for God and to just how spiritually privileged we are to live in this time of the gospel. So, yes, we've not seen Christ, but in one sense we have this something greater. We've got this testimony of the Spirit, the full rich word of God. Even as Peter says at the end of verse 12, these are things that angels long to look into. What God has done for us in Christ, in taking on our humanity, in dwelling amongst us, in fellowshipping with us as one of us, in saving us from sin and exalting us to share in the everlasting life of heaven, these are things that even angels have not participated in. These are things and mysteries that the angels did not know. Does it say in Ephesians 3, I think it is, that these mysteries were being revealed to the heavenly powers, even through the church. This is something that was beyond the imagination of the angels, that God should do something so incredible for us as sinners. So this passage is a great encouragement. Under pressure, we have this, everything we need in the word of God, and this blessing is for us. So I hope that that is an encouragement for you, brothers and sisters, and might give you a fresh wind in your sails to study the Bible, to search it carefully, like the prophets themselves did. Let's pray together. Almighty Father, we thank you for the work of your Spirit, who has come from heaven to speak to us, to inspire the Holy Scriptures, that we may know you and understand your great plan of salvation, to give us the Scriptures that equip us and fully furnish us to live the Christian life. We thank you, O Lord, that your truth is a great light shining in this dark world, and how we love your word and want to love it more. And we just want to humbly acknowledge the immense spiritual privileges we have as your church, that we live in these days of grace, things that prophets and angels longed to see. But you have given us this glory of knowing God in Christ. So please, Lord, help us to search and study the Scriptures carefully. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.